From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. If we thought presidential election campaigns in the United States were ridiculously long, in Brazil, incumbent leader Jair Bolsonaro and former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva are both getting a head start on the 2022 presidential race. Lula, who was convicted in a series of corruption charges that he says were politically motivated, has been all but cleared to revive his political career. Charges against the populist left-leaning leader were overturned amid a crisis of massive proportions as the coronavirus rages through Brazil, leaving President Bolsonaro in a weakened position. My guest is Manuela Libardi. She is a Brazilian journalist and the editor for Open Democracy Brazil. Her new article is entitled Lula is Back. Welcome to the program, Manuela.
Thank you, Sonali. Thank you for having me.
So we have been covering what's been going on in Brazil over the years with Lula's conviction, with the rise to power of Bolsonaro. What has happened in Lula's case to effectively clear him? And has he been fully cleared to actually run for president again?
Right. So Lula was convicted of in two separate corruption cases. So he was convicted of corruption and money laundering in two separate cases involving Petrobras, which is Brazil's state-owned oil company. And that was in 2018. And so last week, a judge from the Supreme Court annulled both of those convictions, claiming that the court that judged those two cases didn't have jurisdiction over those two cases. And so the judge did not exonerate Lula. Lula was not, you know, found innocent in these two cases. He will be retried, or the two cases are being sent to Brasilia, so to Brazil's capital for reconsideration. So it's up to the court to judge those two cases again, to retry Lula basically for those two instances. But as of right now, he's not a convicted, you know, person. He's clear to run in the election, in the 2022 election, because those two convictions were annulled, but they were overturned because of jurisdiction and not because he was found innocent in those cases.
I see. What is the state of Jair Bolsonaro's political career right now? He is a right-wing populist, quote-unquote, but, you know, dictatorial leader who has, just like here in the United States, in the same way that Donald Trump undermined and ignored the dangers of the coronavirus crisis, Bolsonaro had a similar approach. And today, Brazil is suffering like perhaps no other country in Latin America. Has that left Bolsonaro any weakened position politically?
You would expect an easy yes, right? But no. So in terms of popularity, he has about a 30%, a solid 30% approval, popular approval. It fluctuates a little bit. It did go up last year, which is interesting. But he has a solid 30% popular support. However, he does have a strong support in Congress. And so that puts him at a pretty decent position in Brazil, because he gets to approve legislation. You know, he doesn't have a clear majority, but he does have enough support in Congress, in both chambers, both in the Senate and in the House. And so he's not and he's leading the polls currently for next year's election. And so to answer your question, his image was definitely affected by how he handled the pandemic, but also he seems to still have a pretty solid political support in Congress to keep, to stay in power. And he's leading the polls, so you know,
tell
he
me
could
about
win re-election.
Let's go back to Lula, who essentially, you know, made his first public appearance when he was, you know, when those charges were overturned, although, as you mentioned, he still faces a potential retrial. What did his political comeback, if you will, look like? He gave a lengthy speech. What were the issues that he focused on? And is it clear to you that he sees himself as leading a charge in opposition to Bolsonaro in the next race?
Yes. Lula, in his speech, he sounded very much like a candidate. And in 2018, he was running against Bolsonaro until he was jailed. He was jailed in April, and the elections were in October, so only 6 months before the election. And he was running, he was leading the polls, he was, you know, headed for victory in 2018. So in Brazil, I think everyone is just, you know, thinking that he's definitely going to run if he can, because, you know, like I just said, he was jailed just 6 months before the election. So anything could happen between now and next year's election. But he's, you know, he's talking about how to recover the economy, how to get people, to lift people out of poverty, how to implement changes to the current situation. So he's talking about, you know, current problems in a way that, you know, makes him sound like he's going to run next year.
So those bread and butter economic issues that really were the framework for his career and his presidential tenure for much of his political life, right? I mean, he basically, as a leader of the Workers' Party, his popularity was based on this idea that he would lift all of Brazil's poor. But of course, now he has a lot to point to with Bolsonaro, Bolsonaro's deeds and his tenure, I imagine, gives Lula many, many talking points for why Bolsonaro and a right-wing agenda or a free market agenda or a fundamentalist Christian agenda may not be right for the country?
Yes, exactly. And I think that what Lula can do as a strong political figure is unify the left, because that's what's happened. And I think not just in Brazil, elsewhere as well, where the left has become very fragmented. And so, and the, you know, the right hasn't, it's been very solid. And Lula, I think, can do that because he's just massively popular.
It's just name recognition, sheer name recognition.
Yes, and because during his, you know, his two terms, he did lift millions of Brazilians out of poverty, millions. And
yet he has a lot of political baggage.
Yes, he does. And like I said, the two cases that he was just cleared of, they're not the only charges that, you know, that he's facing. He's facing other charges, other corruption charges. He's facing, you know, he could, you know, he could be tried again for something different and be jailed. And his reputation, and not only his reputation, his party's reputation as well, of being corrupt and all these corruption charges against the party and Lula, have also divided Brazilians. I think Bolsonaro did many things played into the election, but the anti-workers party sentiment was pretty big in 2018 as well.
How has Lula's reemergence on the scene energized the sort of grassroots left movements? And you mentioned the fragmented left leadership, but was his speech received well among audiences, or was there enough skepticism to question whether he could run successfully?
I think that at this point, everyone who doesn't want Bolsonaro to win is happy, because if anyone in Brazil can beat Bolsonaro, or at least, you know, be competitive in the race, is Lula. And so, you know, the news was received very, very positively among, you know, the left, even people from candidates from other parties, not just the Workers' Party, but other left, you know, parties on the left, did go to the speech, were there to show support. And so I think that from now, what the left is trying to do is just, you know, they're placing their bets on Lula, I think.
The corruption charges, many say, were entirely politically motivated. And even if there was a kernel of truth to the charges, that those same corruption or similar types of charges could have been applied to the very people that were putting Lula away. Do you fear that and there's just been so much turnover in the legal system, the judiciary in Brazil, do you fear that people might be losing faith in the levers of government?
Yes, but I don't think that that's anything that Brazilians aren't used to. Just the sheer fact that the same judge that jailed, that sentenced Lula 6 months before the election went on to accept a position in Bolsonaro's government. Mm-hmm. He went on to become the justice.
This is Sergio Moro.
That's Moro, yes, and so just. It doesn't get more political than that. You know what I mean? So I think the Brazilians are always expecting the judicial decisions to somehow be related to what's going on in government.
I mean, I don't know if this sounds too conspiratorial, but if Bolsonaro were to be able to count on Lula, considering himself the candidate for the 2022 race, and have the left pin its hopes on Lula, only to have Lula retried right before the election and, you know, be ineligible to run, leaving this vacuum in which Bolsonaro wins re-election, that would play very well for Bolsonaro.
Oh, yes. And, you know, it's a possibility. It's a risky bet, to be honest, because he is facing many different charges. And so jailing him again wouldn't be something that, you know, it wouldn't be out of this world. It could be difficult as well because of what's just happened. And, you know, many, many different analysts, many different experts, they believe that the convictions were politically motivated for different reasons. I mean, if you go into the details of the cases, they don't have a strong case. And plus, Moro's, you know, his whole involvement in the convictions. The Intercept released a series of exchanges, Telegram messages 2 years ago in 2019, that showed that Moro was communicating frequently with prosecutors, that he was even possibly advising them in the cases against Lula, and then he goes on to accept a position in government. And so, you know, it could be risky for the right again because they've done all these very questionable things, and so it could backfire. But yes, Lula could be jailed, you know, before the election again.
So you write in your article about Lula's re-emergence that there's a lot of issues at stake, not just, of course, the coronavirus crisis, but the fact that Bolsonaro's dealings on the Amazon and the indigenous communities in Brazil have alienated a lot of communities. Are there other political openings for Lula, and just really other places where Bolsonaro's failures, or, you know, really his attacks on communities, on the environment, might turn the political future of Brazil away from Bolsonaro?
Right, that's a good point. I think that his stance on the Amazon is very damaging because he bet on his relationship with the United States above, you know, any other. And of course, former President Trump lost the election, and so now President Biden isn't a natural ally of Bolsonaro. And I think the Amazon situation, because it wasn't just the U.S. Back in 2019. The French president also got in a situation back in 2019 over the Amazon as well. And even in Latin America, lots of, you know, fellow Latin American countries are turning against Bolsonaro. So he's becoming more and more isolated, especially after the 2020 election in the U.S.
Right. And in fact, what has the Biden administration's relationship been with, or rather posture been toward Brazil under Bolsonaro? Trump essentially greenlit Bolsonaro. Bolsonaro was known as Brazil's Trump, in fact. But when Biden won the election, before he even came into power, there were tense words, right?
Yes. During the debate, I think the only debate between President Biden and former President Trump, Biden actually threatened Brazil directly. I think he said Brazil that he would impose sanctions on Brazil if Brazil didn't change its policies in the Amazon. And that Bolsonaro responded. He was very aggressive in his response as well toward Biden. But then, of course, Biden got elected. So now Bolsonaro is saying that the United States is a natural ally. And so he's going to do whatever it takes to keep that relationship strong. But I think even if he wins re-election after the pandemic, because the pandemic situation is very unique, after the pandemic, he will have to soften, a lot of his policies regarding the Amazon because of President Biden.
I want to turn back to the issue of the coronavirus crisis in Brazil. What is, of course, the pandemic has impacted so many countries in Latin America, impacted the United States among the worst in the world. But right now we're seeing many countries via access to vaccines start to see a drop in infections and deaths and start to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Where is Brazil in that journey toward the pandemic ending via vaccines?
Right. So the vaccination campaign in Brazil has moved very, very slowly. And one of the big reasons is Bolsonaro, because he started for last year in August, I think, he rejected an offer from Pfizer Pfizer offered, I think, 70 million doses of vaccines, and he rejected that because he was calling a marketing scheme. He didn't want to be a part of Pfizer's marketing, whatever. And so he was just, it just looked like Bolsonaro was just, trying to boycott, Brazil's vaccination campaign, and that's exactly what he was doing. So governors in different states had to do their own planning and negotiate directly with the pharmaceuticals.
It was wow. That sounds like the United States under Trump with respect to obtaining personal protective equipment. That's a familiar story.
Exactly. So it's Brazil didn't start vaccinating. Oh, and when Brazil vaccinated its first citizen, I think late January or something like that, Bolsonaro was making fun of the person who received the vaccine. So it's, the situation is just, he'd never try to implement any vaccination campaigns or plans at all from the beginning until, of course, very recently, where the situation is just so out of control that he's trying to, he was basically forced to start vaccinating and importing and negotiating with the pharmaceuticals to get the doses.
Has Lula's return and his, critique of Bolsonaro's failures on COVID prompted Bolsonaro to at least look like he's taking the pandemic seriously?
Yes, but it doesn't look like he's taking it seriously. We are just last week, I believe, or maybe this week. I think our third health minister resigned, and so now we have a fourth. We are on our fourth health minister since the pandemic started, and so. But yes, he's at least now getting doses and vaccinating people. But last year, I think towards the just December or around that date, he was boycotting the vaccine that Brazil was working on with Sinovac, with the Chinese pharmaceutical. He was just boycotting it because it was being produced in the state of São Paulo, whose governor is probably going to run in the 2022 election as well. And so he saw him as a political rival. And so he was, you know, actively trying to boycott the governor's efforts to vaccinate the population because he saw it as a, you know, as a political campaign, basically.
Wow. So it seems as though just at least one of the most positive roles that Lula can play is to try to push Bolsonaro to appear to do the right thing. I mean, sometimes just having that political foil and pressure from the left can be helpful and useful, right?
I think so. And especially because I think this is the first time that Bolsonaro is actually considering that he might not, that he could lose the election. Mm-hmm. Because up until this point, Brazil just didn't have a strong candidate at all. And so faced with this reality of maybe I'm not going to win next year if I don't start, you know, showing up, he doesn't have a choice but to actually start showing up.
Well, Manuela, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. What's a good website for people to learn more about your work?
If you just Google me on Open Democracy, you should be able to find the articles that I write.
And opendemocracy.net, I understand, is a good website as well.
Right. If you just type my name in the website, it should direct you to my author page.
And we'll post a link to your latest article from our website. Thanks so much for joining us and good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
My guest has been Manuela Libardi, Brazilian journalist and editor for Open Democracy Brazil. Her new article is entitled Lula is Back. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.